Passion Sunday. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of good things to come, he entered once and for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by virtue of his own blood into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Spirit offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is why he is the mediator of a new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for the redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds of the Jews, "Which of you will convict me of sin? If I speak to you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews, therefore, answered, said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, the prophets, and thou sayest, if anyone keep my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like you, a liar. But I know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was glad to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. With the election of our new Holy Father, Francis, it will not be long before we start reading things, before things are reported, not very flattering about him. It's inevitable. People are going to dishonor him. But we have to remember that so Christ was treated, the servant will also be treated. In today's gospel, we find the Jews, the Pharisees, dishonoring our Lord. And he says it directly, "You dishonor me." Christ is there as a great prophet. They know he's a great prophet. He's trying to teach them here that he's more than a prophet, that he's the Son of God. But they will not listen to him. They refuse and they dishonor him. They even try to kill him. Why? Because of the hatred in their heart. These type of sins arise from hatred of our neighbor. The dishonor of our neighbor is a grave sin. It is a sin of, there's a number of names for it, reviling or contumely or railing. This is a grave sin. Sometimes we would even say, you know, just gossip, but gossip covers a lot of things. It is when we dishonor someone, and it's usually dishonor to their face or in their presence, we dishonor them. This is a sin. Our Lord says, well, I guess I should say, God the Father says through the Ten Commandments that we are to honor our father and mother. And this includes anyone who has been set in authority over us. As Christ says to Pontius Pilate, You would not have authority if it was not given to you from above. So anyone who has authority has been given that authority from above, and we are to honor them. Anyone, and I'm just mean in general, our parents, our leaders in society, our leaders in the church, everyone. Our superiors at our workplace, we are to honor them. We are to honor other people also when we meet them. And to not honor them is a sin. And it depends on what's in our heart as to the gravity of that sin. If there's true hatred in our heart, that dishonor can be a mortal sin. We have to remember this. Now, if we do it out of passion, we get upset, and in the heat of the passion, we might say something or do something that of course lessens the sin. Nevertheless, this is a mortal sin. Now, associated with dishonor, now usually reviling is face-to-face to the person. We also have what's called backbiting. And that's usually what we call gossip. What commonly is called gossip when we do this dishonor behind another person's back, where we are destroying that person's reputation with another person. This is founded on hatred. We are trying to destroy in the heart of another their love, really, of that other person. The love that they should have, the respect they should have, and the honor they should have. This is gossip, which is commonly called gossip. And this is a grave sin, when, of course, done with full knowledge and full intent. Now, of course, there can be some lessening. It can be lessened if the matter is small, or like I said, if we do it out of passion, or maybe even out of fear, that can lessen the sin. Nevertheless, many times, I think, people don't think how serious gossip is. We are a murderer when we gossip, because we murder the reputation of the other person in the heart of someone else. Now, there are some other sins associated with this, too. There is the sin of talebearing, what is called, sometimes it's called mischief-making. And this is where the person, it's similar to gossip, where they try to destroy then, not the reputation, but the friendships of another person. They go around and they whisper and they try to, they might go to someone who's friends with this other person who they hate, and they tell a little story about them in order to destroy that friendship. This often happens in political situations, politics, sometimes in the church, oftentimes in the workplace. It happens a lot in society. Talebearing, where we try to destroy someone's reputation. And you can see this unfolding in like office politics, where someone is trying to isolate or destroy someone, and you try to break off the people around him one by one in order to destroy that person, or maybe not to destroy them, but to get them out of the way for whatever political purpose. This is called mischief-making or tale-bearing. This is actually a graver sin than gossip. Why is that? Because honor is, of course, a good thing, but what is greater than that honor is love. The love between two friends is something great. This is what God calls us to love. And so to purposely try to destroy that love between two people can be a very grave sin. Again, we have to remember that it can be mitigated. Again, if someone's angry or passionate, that can lessen the gravity of the sin. Or if it's a small matter, that can lessen the gravity of the sin. Or, you know, we need to be clear. If you have a specific reason for talking about this, maybe your superior doing a performance review of someone, then, of course, that's part of your job. You have to talk about these things. If you're in a court of law, of course, you have to talk about these things. But those are something different. We're talking mostly about gossip. So we have to think about this. We have to reflect on this. Finally, there's another thing associated with this, another sin associated with this, and it's called railing. When someone derides someone else, and it could be to their face or behind their back. This is the sin of teenage boys. They like to mock and deride each other. And when you remember, when you think about that, then you can see this sin. And it does happen also with adults. And it is, again, another form of dishonor. We're dishonoring the other. There's a point at which a joke goes beyond a joke and becomes a sort of dishonor to the person. This is also a sin. So this sort of family of sins, sometimes we just call them all gossip, but they all have, they all can be very serious. They all arise from hatred in our heart for our neighbor. Now, sometimes people ask me, they say, Father, you know, if someone's gossiping to me, am I really guilty of it? You know, I just sit there and don't want to listen to it. And the answer is yes, actually. Especially if you want to hear the gossip. If you're in your heart really enjoying it, you can actually be more guilty of the gossiper, more guilty of a sin than the gossiper. Because you're not correcting your brother also. And in your heart, you are, you know, going deeper into your hatred. Now, of course, if someone is listening to gossip, Father, you know, they, at my work, they always gossip, and I don't want to hear it, and I just shut it out, and I don't listen to it. Well, that's probably a lighter sin. I shouldn't say probably. It is a lighter sin. But we should say something. So this would be a situation where you're in a big crowd and or, you know, around a table, and someone's gossiping. And sometimes a person out of fear or just because of their personality, they don't want to say anything. This would be a case like this. But it is still a sin not to say something. You need to try to stop it. Now, if the person still keeps intending to do it, then there are other things you could do. You can get up and leave, especially if it's like a cafeteria table at work or a gathering at the coffee maker or something like that. Or you can say, you can try to stop it by saying a few words. Oftentimes a person who is the gossiper, if you just deflate them, the most deflating words oftentimes to someone who wants to gossip is you just say, yeah, but, and then you say something good about the person. And then they try to say something, and then you just say something good about the person. And you just keep repeating, you know, you trade back the something good. And it just deflates the gossiper because they want you to join in their hatred and you refuse to, so they will go off to find someone else. And that is a sort of correction also when you do that, because the person should recognize that they're doing something wrong. If you know the person good, well enough, you should say something to them about this sin. And you know, when I say gossip, I mean all these things: railing, derision, backbiting, and tail-bearing. These all can be grave sins. And we need to look at ourselves, look into our hearts, here during Lent especially, and look at the times when we've done these and the times that we were maybe silent when it was done in our presence. These sins arise from hatred. The Jews hated Christ, the Pharisees hated him. And so as he says in the Gospels, you dishonor me. And so how do we make up for our past sins along these lines? Is that we have to do what we've sinned against. If we dishonored someone, then we must honor them. Do something special to honor them. Honor your parents in a special way or someone else in a special way. If you've detracted against someone, that has gossiped against someone, you need to try to undo that by complimenting them to that third person, to try to build up that person in their heart again. If you've derided someone, you need to try to do something kind to them to make up for that. It's obvious how to do this. Now, sometimes it is the most difficult thing because we need to break that hatred in our heart. These sins arise from hatred. As I said, the Jews hated Christ. And anyone who follows Christ, as he says, they hated me first. So do not be surprised when they hate you. And so let us then turn to our Lord and ask him that he would take the hatred out of our hearts and the hearts of our neighbor and give us a heart of love like his. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.